Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, the last Tuesday of a dreadful August.
Yeah.
August the 29th, 2017. And tonight, as we look at our current events, we want to remind you that this program is about giving you the tools to survive, the tools for self-defense, both mentally, spiritually, politically, and economically. And we always say that an anatomy of oppression requires an anatomy of colonialism, imperialism, and an anatomy of the American capitalist system. And because we say these things from time to time, we give you mental homework. And your mental homework this evening is, what do the current predict? I'm going to have to mute some of these mics. What do the current predict for the future of our children? Is there a future for our children? And what must be done to guarantee that future for our children? And so I want to greet all of our usual suspects who are here tonight, and I want to salute you and say what a privilege it is for me to be a part of your band of warriors. And I'd like to introduce Brother Ralph Pointer, long-term freedom fighter, former political prisoner, still fighting for community control of education. Ralph Pointer, are you in the house?
Yes, I am. Loud and clear. My credo, what I believe. The overriding element in every situation in black life, birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our neighbors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, moved lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside it. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us, our communities, do not matter to us, the people. our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds, as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. And if I seem a little emotional this evening, it is because I am emotional. It can't happen here, is what we hear. It can't happen in, is what we hear. Well, it is happening here, and it is happening again in every circumstance, because we haven't really taken care of the issue in our own minds as well as in deeds. Now, this program is about liberation of those who understood these realities a long, long time ago. Those who join in the long line of people who understood the American imperialist system and fought against it. Those people in our now are suffering, and we have managed to put the issue on the agenda, not on the national agenda, not on the local agenda, not on our own agenda. I say,
Brother Ralph, Brother Ralph, we're going to have to ask you to get a better link, okay? I'm going to go to Brother Nat Turner, and then we're going to come back to you to give you a chance to get a better mic, because your mic is really breaking up terribly. Can you hear me?
It must be in the connection, because I'm speaking right into the phone.
You need a different phone, man.
I changed the phone.
You're breaking up and you're going
phone.
In and out. So try the other one,
right.
And if that one doesn't
and
to come
affectionately
back.
Affectionately called New York the Empire State are all indicative of the doers being in favor of a society wherein white people are regarded as superior, highly unequal, and wherein black people are thought of as inferiors, highly unequal. You are either for. What's that?
Okay, Brother Tariq?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, Brother Tariq?
Hello?
We're going to.
Tariq is here.
Were you started already?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading to myself. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I forgot my mic
Come
was
back
on.
To you, sweetheart. No problem. Brother Nat, your mic is open. Thank you for your patience. And Brother Tariq, we'll come back to you after Brother Ralph.
Okay, this is a work in progress. It's called Little Something for Dick Gregory.
All right.
Our white-bearded cannon fell silent. The day became grayer. I know. He was my mom's favorite funny man. She bought his book, its vinyl, speaking to her like Malcolm, who she shared Turkish coffee with on his trips west, fishing for men. I remember his mantra he chanted like a Buddhist priest. You youngsters got a lot of work to do. You youngsters got a lot of work to do, doubling us over, splitting our sides, shaking. Mantra, he chanted like a Buddhist priest. You youngsters got a lot of work to do. You youngsters got a lot of work to do, piercing steel veils with X-ray vision. Puncturing absurdities with barbed tongue, solar power BS detector administering smell tests. I remember his mantra he chanted like a Buddhist priest. You youngsters got a lot of work to do. You youngsters got a lot of work to do. while coming as close as we've come to having a superhero putting his body on the line, running, marching, fasting, speaking, teaching us to follow the money where the bodies are buried.
Incredible. As usual, we thank you. All right, Brother Ralph, I see your mic is back open. You want to try it again?
Okay. Do he do the credo again? Could you hear that? The overriding situation.
We heard the credo, Brother Ralph.
Right.
Yeah, it's still a problem.
Okay.
Ralph, it's still a problem. We already heard the credo. I'm going to go to Brother Larry and then Brother Tariq. When I see your 518, I'll open up your mic.
No,
all right,
the
Brother
518
Larry.
Doesn't work. I can't even hear you.
Okay, so we'll have to use 917, but we'll come back to you. Brother Larry, you're in the house.
Thank you very much. I want to first of all thank you, Sister Professor Betty Davis. Ralph, I know you're having some difficulty, but I'm sure it's going to be worked out and we're going to hear everything that you have to say. As far as Brother Nat Turner, well, Brother Nat, what can I say? You always have your profound words of poetic wisdom. Much appreciated. I want to begin as I always begin, all power to the people. We must free our political prisoners. I repeat, we must free our political prisoners. I want to take a minute or two just to talk a little bit, very little bit, about a meeting that I attended, a community meeting with some of the people who were there, was the acting police chief and the so-called top brass of the police department, along with other city officials. Now, while I certainly do not have any, let me put it this way, I'm certainly not bamboozled when it comes to speaking with these folks. I think it was a public meeting with an open forum, and it was extremely important that the community people be there and put on public record where they/we stood as far as policies with respect to or regards to the policing, and I'm using that word very, very diplomatically. I could just say killing. And you know what? I've got to be blunt, sisters and brothers, brothers and sisters. I was extremely disappointed at the lack of any kind of substantial turnout by black folks. I'm going to be just blunt, okay? There were some brothers and sisters there, Chicana, which was great. And, of course, there were a lot of white folks there, which was great. But where were black people? Where were we? Okay, I was there. A couple of other blacks were there, okay? But, you see, this is one of the things that we talk about, the freeing of our political prisoners, and we're not even willing collectively to stand up for our own rights. We're not even willing to put on record where we stand after people have struggled to make sure that we even exist. And in the case of that particular so-called community forum, you know, we have to push for that. It didn't just happen by osmosis. City council member, et cetera, were involved in making it happen along with the community, and I put the community first. But, you know, this is something that we've got to get over. Whining and complaining is not what the struggle is about. Taking action, substantive, creative, innovative, for real, serious action is what it's about. And how does this relate to political prisoners? It relates to political prisoners because, you know, to use Sister Betty's words, the usual suspect, brothers and sisters, on this program, and I'm looking forward to one of my biggest suspects saying, you know, and sister knows who I'm talking about, who always refers to the details of our political prisoner, Sister Ann Lamb, and I'll be waiting to hear her, what she's got to say. But, you know, we have got to stop shucking and jiving. We really need to stop shucking and jiving. And I'm not saying us on this program, on this show. I'm saying collectively in general. As part of the credo that Ralph refers to weekly is that black lives have never mattered, and you know what? They'll never matter until they matter to us. No lives will matter until they matter to us. And that, of course, includes black lives. So, you know, it's, again, time to stop shucking and jiving. Our political prisoners, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, you know, have paid very, very, very serious prices for all these years. And this has got to stop. So I'm a little bit, I don't know if the word is angry. Let's just say I'm a little bit forceful this evening. I think we are, and I congratulate all of us. All right, I don't mean to be chastising anyone, but we really got so, as Brother Nat Turner said, a lot of work to do. Got a lot of work to do, and we've got to be serious about it. So I'm going to end. I just wanted to bring that up. I'm looking forward to hearing and listening to everyone. Thank you. We must free our political prisoners. If we don't, who will? And if we don't, then we need to stop complaining, stop whining, stop it, just stop it. We need to free our political prisoners and get them out of these slave camps, these gulags, these death camps now. All power to the people, sisters and brothers, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much. Hope I didn't take up too much time. All power to the people.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Brother Ralph, your mic is open.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. Just... Yes.
Okay. What is happening? The question of neutrality, of the net neutrality of the airwaves is striking us. Because I'm in a rural setting, I have upgraded to the finest grade that I can in this community. And this is the best it is getting. Now, as I was saying, according to those prognosticators on social and political issues, it can't happen here, they say. It can't happen again, they say. But it is happening here, and it has happened again. What I am referring to is the condition that creates an expanded, a serious detriment to our community, because without power, we can deal with nothing. We can deal with nothing. 50 years ago in America, we spoke of the chemical curtain. That is the chemicals and destructive chemicals, the plants, the industry. Where were they placed in America? Around communities of color and communities of poverty.
Okay, Frankie.
Chemical curtain has struck in. Last year, with the storms that were in the south and southwest and central America were considered one in a 1,000 years. 1 year later, it happened again. It is not 1,000 years. 1 year later, and who gets it in the neck?
Okay, great.
Of color, because they are located around the disastrous, dangerous, unregulated chemicals themselves and the chemical industry. It has happened here,
and it has happened again, because people who are oppressed have not understood the need for power. Power to say no to the chemical companies. Power to say no to corrupt politicians. And emotional power to say, I do not need religion to tell me to wait for God to do it for me. I need religion to give me strength to do it for myself. And I almost cried when I heard that the levees were overrun down in Houston. Overrun. What does that mean? That means more and more people are going to die. And if they do not die instantly, they are going to be killed by pestilence. They can be killed by the God's creatures that crawl. God creatures. They are in the water with people walking through the water. And worse than that, the destructive chemicals are in the water that is on the skin. Why? Because we do not have the will or the power to regulate chemical companies. We do not have the will or the power to regulate our so-called politicians. We do not have the will to question our religious people, our teachers. And as a result, it is happening again. And it is happening here. And we must not forget what has happened a few weeks ago, where the young man or middle-aged racist pointed a gun at a black man, shot at his feet, walked away with a line of police watching. And I understand yesterday a warrant was issued for his arrest. What does that say about where we are and the condition of our children? Where will they be when we do not develop the power to defend them or to defend our community? And once again, what is the nature of this program? It's a program to support political prisoners. And as Larry Pinkney, ex-political prisoner, ex-Black Panther, has just told you, he's disappointed. Well, we are disappointed, but we must dig down deep. We must drag our people out of their sleep. We must work at awakening the sleeping giant that is the people. If the giant has not turned to a pygmy. We have watched the unions fight over the years, and we have seen the unions diminished to 10 or 11% of the workers. And the unions that exist, they are not unions. Most of them are guilds, because when we see in Flint, Michigan, where there is no water fit to drink, no union, they shut anything down. They strike for wages or benefits when they can, because they have not acted like unions. They have reduced to the condition of guild. And guilds have been throttled. Can you imagine union position where a fiscal emergency manager comes in and the unions themselves support the Hillary Clinton of the Democratic Party without saying one word against it. They have sold their soul, lock, stock, and the barrel, two different conditions of the dictatorship, of the two-party system, and now they are in total jeopardy. We must once again raise the fist organization, raise the fist so-called organizing, raise the fist of those who have not been organized to organize them to bring this gargantuan destructive evil called capitalism to its knees. Thanks again, Sister Betty. I missed out on Mr. Nat Turner's poetry because of the phone situation, because the people of America have not forced the media, have not forced the politicians, have not forced those who control the airways to give us equal access to the airwaves. That's net neutrality. Everything.
Thank you, Brother Ralph, very much. Brother Tariq, we're going
to
go straight to you.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother Tariq. We're going to give Brother Ralph a rest, and I hope he'll use, even if it's just for a short moment, the 518 number, because the 917 is ridiculous. Go ahead, Brother Tariq.
All right, peace, Brother Ralph, Sister Betty, and peace to all the listeners. I'm Tariq. I'm a Black Panther. I spent 17 years in various American concentration camps as a Black Liberation Army prisoner of war. Tonight I want to talk about the removal of the statue of Dr. Sims. The statue of Dr. James Sims should be removed, torn down. Dr. James Sims is a famous, highly regarded gynecologist who became famous during the late 1800s for presenting to the public medical information that he got from performing torturous operations on Black women. Dr. Sims has horribly used Black women as lab rats. Moreover, Dr. Sims' diminished regard for African people went beyond the operating table into his social life. It has been reported that Dr. Sims was frequently heard using the N-word and other negative adjectives when referring to African people. Like Robert E. Lee, whose statue should be torn down in Charlottesville, Virginia, Dr. Sims thought of Black people as animals to be used and then disposed of as they saw fit. They arrived at thinking of Black people as animals as a result of being subjected to the teachings put out by the rich ruling class, teachings that the ruling class are still putting out in 2017. Those teachings resonate with racists. Racists grow up in households wherein there were superior and inferior persons. Usually the father was a superior, dominant one, and the wife and the children were the inferior, subjugated persons. Persons growing up with this kind of background appreciate being told they are on top in society and Black people are animals on the bottom. Some years ago, when I learned about Dr. Sims' statue, I felt it should have been torn down. Accordingly, I was surprised and happy to hear progressives have a history of protesting against the presence of the statue and a history of demanding its removal. Dr. James Sims is the progenitor of Dr. Joseph Mengele. Dr. Joseph Mengele was a Nazi and a medical professional who experimented on Jews in the concentration camps. He used Jews like lab rats. Dr. Mengele intended to present his findings to the public. After World War II, rather than a statue being made in the image of Dr. Mengele, he was sentenced to death for his criminal acts. The statues, the flags, and to affectionately call New York State the Empire State are all indicative of the doers being in favor of a society wherein white people are regarded as superior, highly unequal, and wherein black people are thought of as inferiors, highly unequal. You are either for equality, love, and peace, or you are for the practice of inequality, angry, mean-spiritedness, inflicting endless fear, pain, and death. Free all political prisoners, all prisoners of war. And I just want to say, we have the power. Black people live in 26 strategic cities, and that is why the enemy is erecting realtors to steer white people back into black areas to carry out gentrification, to take over, to retake the areas without firing a shot. But we have the power, and if we take a day off in any one of those cities or all of those cities, we will cause the American economy to go into a recession. So we have that power. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tariq.
Brother Tariq, I just want to say thank you because
great.
You not only gave an analysis, you gave a suggestion for some strategies, and you went back into history. The significance, as you say, of the Dr. Sims statue, it's in many places in New York City, is that they're saying what they've got in store for us as a people. These women, as you talked about it, were operated on without any anesthesia. And they tried to say that black people didn't have the same type of feelings or emotions, and we didn't feel pain. In other words, it was just total insanity. And that is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a level of fascism that's a sociopathic behavior. I want to now go to Sister Ann, but I also want to ask Brother Larry to stay on point and to stay connected, because I want to. I think there's a direct connection between what Brother Larry said about the turnout at the meeting and what Brother Ralph is saying about the nature of our people being asleep. So, Sister Ann, your mic is open, and as Brother Larry says, we do look forward to hearing you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I just received in the mail today a letter from Jan Lahman. So I thought this was timely and important. I got home, and there it was. I said, oh, perfect. He calls this one number two, because it's number two to me. And he wrote it on August 20th. I got it today. Dear Ann, hi. Hope these words are catching you doing positively. I received your letter of 7/21 a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, my situation remains the same, pending designation to CMU. My case is still in the Western BOP regional office. I think reaching out to them with concern and more is what needs to be done. I mean, most of the time these prison bureaucrats get away with doing what they want, but resisting their moves is necessary. I am supposed to be getting a legal phone call with my local guild attorney this week sometime. I think the issues you raised about legal action is something we will be discussing. Yeah, and my situation, I mean getting thrown into SEG and trying to send me to a control unit for sending a eulogy for Lynn, is just a blatant example of runaway abuse of government power. But of course, the BOP and prison systems overall are the most for real police state institutions in the U.S. Well, I'd probably throw ICE into that camp, too. Yep, for sure. Hey, speaking of prisons, I'm looking forward to hear news on the D.C. prison rally that happened yesterday. I do have my little radio here in the cell, but did not hear anything on NPR, maybe something on Democracy Now! Tomorrow. And speaking more on prison matters, I very much support Jaleel's idea about international efforts. And, of course, always warm salutes and regards to Ralph and everyone. Speaking of Alina, she recently moved to Italy, but I'm not clear on her address. This is our friend Alina in France. If you have it or can reach her, I need her new address. Yes, I heard about Rashid's move, too, and all while ISIS terrorizes Catalonia and Nazis march in Virginia. La lucha continua, for real. Jan. So I was very happy to get a letter from him. We have been working to try to get him a good lawyer, you know, to fight this transfer to CMU nonsense and to get him out of the hole. So hopefully it seems that there's some movement in that area. People could still go to jerichony.org. He was saying, let's focus on a regional BOP. That information is still there. Make those phone calls. Write those letters. It's important, people. It's important. Like people are saying, we need to wake up. Yeah, we need to wake up. I just spent this past weekend visiting Seth on Saturday and Jaleel on Sunday. They both send regards. I have not heard from Seth since Saturday, so I called up Solomon this morning and spoke to his counselor, but she says he's there and he's fine. So I'm like, okay, hopefully he's talking with his daughter Crystal, and that's why he hasn't called me, because he's busy talking with her. He's doing well. I was happy to hear on Saturday evening when I asked him, what were your sugars at 4 o'clock? 116. I was like, all right, 116 is excellent. So this is, you know, slowly but surely. And they did not order some part of this pump monitor thing, which is called a sensor. And I'm like, but this is crazy. You know, why don't you just order the whole piece? Are we going to order it in parts, right? So that's pending. You know, they were saying they want to send them up to Albany Medical Center where they have doctors who know this particular pump and monitor and check it all out, make sure it's working properly, et cetera, et cetera. That has not happened yet. That's why I was calling today to see if maybe they had taken them up to Albany Medical, because they treat the patients or the prisoners. They treat the prisoners fairly well at Albany Medical as if they really are patients, but they're not allowed to make phone calls. Jaleel sends regards to everybody. He's doing as well as can be expected. Yesterday was August 28th. It is the anniversary of his capture on August 28th, 1971. He is beginning his 47th year in prison. He's been very busy, as I think people know. I just sent people an interview that was done by K-Cut Radio in Montreal with him. That's part one of that interview. They'll probably end up being four parts. Very good. Take the time to listen to it. It's about half an hour. I will be putting it up, of course, also on his website and on jerichomewide.org as soon as possible. And, you know, he hasn't heard anything yet on his, you know, parole appeal. I talked to Abby, his lawyer, yesterday. He hasn't heard anything either. We were just checking because they certainly have been sitting on it for a while. Of course, we'll be gearing up among everything else that we'll be doing. We will be gearing up for the 2018 parole hearings, which will be Herman, Seth, and, of course, Jaleel. That will be Seth's 11th, Herman's 8th, I believe, and Jaleel's 10th. Yeah, it might be Herman's 9th then. Herman's 9th and Jaleel's 10th. So, you know, they've added all these years to everybody's sentences. Herman and Jaleel should have been out in 2002 on their 25 to life, which, you know, under old law when they were sentenced, it was assumed if you did your 25 and you were, you know, minding your P's and Q's and not getting in trouble, you would be released. And now we see that, you know, due to the Fraternal Order of Police, who just had a nice meeting with Jeff Sessions, and the PBA, you know, the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, this is the police who are causing our prisoners to remain in prison, because they get thousands and thousands of signatures against parole for anybody that they consider to be a cop killer. Now, you could be innocent and be considered to be a cop killer, as we well know in the case of Mumia, in the case of the Move 9, in the case of Leonard Peltier. We can go on and on, right? In the case of the New York 3, in the case of the Queens 2, you know, it was deliberately framed and set up by this government. I was just saying, well, how is it possible to me? I mean, I know how bad the criminal, truly criminal injustice system is, but you have prosecutorial misconduct. You have perjury by a government witness. You have judicial misconduct by the judge. You have torture of Reuben Scott by the prosecution. And this is okay, right? According to, you know, all the appeals that people have tried to make over the years, this is okay. The fact that we were told that by a government witness that he was the only person who tested the gun, and the gun belonged to Jaleel and was the murder weapon in the assassination of two police officers here, blah, blah, blah. Then they do their FOIA requests, and they find out, I'm just reminding people because this is not new, they do their FOIA requests, and they find out, oh, no, the gun was tested three times, twice by the FBI, in addition to once by the NYPD, and the conclusion from these tests was they could not conclude that this weapon was the quote-unquote murder weapon. So this is very similar to Mumia's case, very similar to Leonard's case. You know, we have a lot of cases where the ballistics are very weird, to say the least. So there's that. And then the judge on the appeal says, and this is to me the amazing part, oh, well, that was perjury, but it was harmless error. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If I was sitting on a jury and I had heard from the expert witness that this definitely was the murder weapon, right? And then a few months later, I'm still sitting on the jury, and I suddenly hear, oh, no, it's not. We have no way of knowing if it is or not. I would definitely not have voted to convict somebody, right? So, you know, there's all these irregularities in that's his and Herman's case, also Albert Noah Washington, who was convicted on no evidence, anything more than that he knew Jaleel and Herman, and he died in prison for a crime he did not commit, right? In the year 2000, we lost Noah to cancer, all right? So, you know, this kind of horrible stuff that goes on, I'm just talking about one case. There are many cases where all this kind of irregularity and illegality happens and is allowed to happen and is encouraged and is, you know, permitted to continue. Nobody in the justice system, the so-called justice system, apparently would like to touch this case with a 10-foot pole because everybody's been told not to. Now, Jaleel actually told me on Sunday that some people who were lawyers went down to the Nixon archives because there was a meeting at the White House between Nixon, Ehrlichman, and the Watergate plumbers about this case, which they called Newkill, right? New York killings, Newkill. So the person goes to the archives, and they say, they're talking about, you know, we're looking for a tape from such a date in 1971 or 72, you know, between Nixon, this one, that one, and that one. So the person who's there at the archives says, oh, you mean the Newkill tape. So obviously they knew what it was, right? Oh, but we don't have it. So I don't think that they don't have it. I think that they've been told to say they don't have it, right? Because you know Nixon was recording everything. So, you know, that's just another case. And also the original trial transcript has very significant parts of it that are missing. And lawyers have gone to 100 Center Street and paralegals have gone there to try to find these missing parts. And they're always told, oh, well, we had a fire. And you're like, yeah, isn't that very coincidental that you just happened to burn the last 30 pages of somebody's transcript because that had very important information that might cause them to walk out the door. So, you know, in addition to what's happening now, we have to go back to what was happening then, because this is the basis on which people are being convicted. You're being convicted based upon basically who you are, like as the MOVE family says. It's very clear. They are only in prison because they are members of the MOVE organization. There is no other reason that they are in prison. They are not in prison for killing Officer James Ramp. Everybody knows they didn't kill Officer James Ramp. The judge knows they didn't kill Officer James Ramp. The prison system knows they didn't kill Officer James Ramp. And every time they go to the board, they get turned down. So we see this as a national problem when it comes to the issue of quote-unquote parole. There is no such thing. Not for our political prisoners. It does not happen. Nobody's walking out the door on parole. So we do have to really organize and use the power of the people to release our political prisoners, not next week, not next year, not 10 years from now, not having them come out in coffins or in toe tags, as Seth said to me one time. We do not want that to happen. I am sick and tired of going to funerals. I do not want to go to any more funerals of my comrades dying in those horrible hellholes where they shouldn't be in the first place. And I will do everything in my power to make sure that that does not happen. And if I die trying to get them out of there, I at least will have felt that I lived my life with a purpose. Free them all.
Right on, Sister Ann. Right on. I want to give Brother Tariq and Brother Larry a chance to respond. And then I want to, Brother Ralph, your mic is also open. So, Brother Ralph, you go, Brother Tariq, and Brother Larry. Go ahead. Brother Ralph.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
that was right on, and I appreciate that. And we must follow those who understand and speak out against this injustice of the, as Lynn called it, the warts of the legal system. But we also must remember the right of self-defense. And in Lynn's words, I don't care who shot the Army of Occupation. History and reality tells us what that Army of Occupation is out there to do, to control us and kill us, and they prove it every day by killing some of us. We must support and extremely shout out that the basic human right of self-defense belongs to us.
Absolutely.
Never let that right be relegated to, oh, did they do it or did they not do it? We know, and as Lynn said, and as Queen, she repeated the words of Queen Mother Moore, I hope they did, because that would show their humanity. But they demanded and insisted on the right of self-defense. And so we must never get that, give that up. And in the words of our dear sister, Lynn Stewart, is, why is it that those who speak so constantly of the defense of human rights are willing to give up the most basic human right, and that is the right of self-defense? So we must organize our people to free all political prisoners.
Brother Larry, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister. Thank you, Brother Ralph, Sister Ann Lamb. Let me just be as direct and as candid as I can. The reality is that until we, I'm going to go back to the credo that Ralph reads every week, all right?
Yeah.
Until we, everyday ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, and in this regard, until we, who are deeply concerned about the lives and welfare and freedom of our political prisoners, only until we act accordingly. You know, I have gotten to the point where it is crystal clear that we have allowed this Willie Lynch slave mentality to, we have succumbed, too many, not all of us by any means, but too many of us have. And we need to understand, as Sister Lynn Stewart said, and as Brother Ralph just repeated what Lynn said, is that the right to self-defense is simply a basic, fundamental human right. Nothing else is there to debate. There is no debate in there. I don't care whether the person is black, white, brown, red, or yellow. The basic right of and to and for self-defense. So many have said this all over the world. Why can't we understand that here in Babylon, here in this country? Why can't we understand that? We have thought, many of us, and struggled, perhaps is a more appropriate word. We have struggled for so many decades to free ourselves from these mental, these psychological chains, as Franz Fanon referred to them as. You know, but still, we labor today under illusion after illusion after illusion. We must bend those illusions. Now, I'm going to end, but I'm very, very adamant about the fact that we must free our political prisoners, because in so doing, we free ourselves.
Absolutely.
All right? And I'm not speaking from reading books. Oh, I read books, love to read books, but I'm speaking from direct personal experience. I understand that we must do all that we can do. Our political prisoners are doing all that they can do, but we must be the appendage to that. We must be the ones who make the impact nationally and globally, internationally, and stop being so narrow-minded and get off of this, get out of this box, this mentality. Because if we don't use it, the power of the people, guess what, brothers and sisters? We lose it. We either use it or we lose it. And time is running out for our political prisoners and for us. So I'm going to leave it at that for now.
Brother
okay,
Tariq, your mic is open.
All right, power to the people. I just want to say, in regard to Brother Yon, the authorities want to put Yon in the communications management unit because the authorities, they know, but the people don't know, but the authorities know that they are feeding the public a diet of selected information to turn out people who are willing to go along with this system without rebelling, and they don't want anybody, especially revolutionary, to be giving the public information other than what the authorities have said is information that the public should have. So that's what's going on in his case. And I think that our people out here on the street, we want to know that, as I said, we presently occupy 26 major cities, and if we took off a day in Cleveland or Pittsburgh, just one city, if we took off a day in one city, got our heads together in one city and took a day off, that would send the country into an economic depressive spiral, and the rich ruling class would be coming to us and asking us what it is that we want to undo the economic depression that they would be in. So if we took off, if black people in the 26 major cities, if all of us got our heads together, and that is the job of revolutionary, then if we took a day off, we would definitely immediately send the country into an economic depression. And the authorities, they know that, and that's why they have commissioned their persons and realtors to begin to take back those 26 major cities by way of gentrification. So they know what they're doing. It's just that we don't know what we're doing. I think now some white people have realized that they're being steered into the black areas, and they don't want to go in those areas. So I think the authorities have told realtors to begin a campaign to get the names of black areas changed so white people won't know what it is that they are being used for. So that's what's going on. So we are a sleeping giant, as Brother Ralph has said, and I think the authorities want to do everything they can to prevent the giant from being awakening. And I think the authorities know this, and so we must know this, okay? So we have the power. The people have the power. So I just want to leave us with that thought. Thank you very much. Power to the people.
All right. Well, before we go back to this conversation, I'm going to try yet again to bring Mamiya in on this conversation.
White few. Fewer blacks, foreigners, everybody. And Charlottesville, Virginia is a reflection, too, of that white fear. America is a land awash in fear. Fear of the future. Fear of a black and brown planet. Fear of the passing away of white America. Fear of the America to come. That fear made Trump president. That fear lies beneath everything. From imprisoned nations, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
I didn't get, that was a much shorter.
Recorded by Noel Hanrahan.
That was a much shorter broadcast, but I think what Mamiya is saying is right on, and I want to give people a chance to comment on that. We are talking about Brother Larry's statement about that meeting sticks in my head. First of all, they knew not to show up for that. They were conspicuous by their absence. I also say Ralph is correct when he talks about the Democratic Party. They knew about that meeting. It was their job to get people out for that. The unions are supposed to be for the workers. They should have informed the workers to show up for that meeting. Where were the union organizers? in this issue. So there's so many institutions in this capitalist society that's supposed to support and fight against oppression, but they do not. And I think this whole analysis that this program offers of the institutions such as the Democratic Party, the churches, and the unions, these three institutions, I have to say what they said in France, j'accuse, I accuse them of perfidy. Anybody want to take that one on?
Absolutely, for a second.
Yes, I do.
Let me just say that I absolutely concur with you, and I want to emphasize that the Democratic Party, in my humble opinion, based on what I have experienced, is the party of subterfuge, is the insidious party of subterfuge. And as Lyndon Baines Johnson said after the so-called civil rights legislation was passed, he said, quote, niggers, and that's what he said, will support the Democratic Party now for the next 50 to 100 years, end of quote. Hello, think about it.
As you know, W.E.B. Du Bois said in 1958 that people really don't have, regarding the Democratic Party, he said people don't really have a choice between the greater evil and the lesser evil. He said both parties are the party of evil. That's what W.E.B. Du Bois said in 1958. And I think that is the case. I think that we should look for the solution from black people, because we have authorities who have actually have a history of having trained the people to have to be saddled with certain negative characteristics, and we have to really change those negative characteristics into positive characteristics, because as you know what Steve Biko said, the greatest weapon in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And that's all people in this society, black, white, blue or green, they have been trained by the authorities. And revolutionaries have to teach them that they are intelligent, that they make right decisions, and that they are courageous people, and that they are human beings even. Not just a worker, you are a human being, first of all. You're not a peasant, you're a human being. And I think with that mentality, people will come forward and do what is necessary to free us from all the pain and suffering we are being subjected to. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Yes, I am here, and I am smiling because, as I say, when you listen or participate in this program, you get educated as well as attempting to educate others. All of those who spoke and educated tonight are magnificent. And this program must go out to people to reemphasize what has been said over and over again about our circumstance, and most recently, Chavez, who was the premier of Venezuela, says the dictatorship of the two-party system is the bane of the American public. We understand that. It has been said over and over again before he said it, and we must repeat it. And who was it that said, the truth must be only, not only the truth, but it must be told, and it must be told as to be understood. And the truth that is told as to be understood is irrefutable. And so our mission continues. The truth. Let us free all political prisoners. Now.
Sister, can I add something very quickly? This is Larry. I just want to say that what we really have is a one-party system. The two parties, that's a myth. The Democrats, the Republicans, it's a myth. Black people have been programmed to believe that there's a two-party system, as well as other people have been programmed. We have a one-party duopoly. It's a one-party thing, and we need to understand that. We need to free ourselves mentally, psychologically. Then we can free ourselves in other terms and free all of our political prisoners. But it takes time, but we don't have a lot of time. We just don't have a lot of time. All power to the people.
Brother Tariq, I think you were wanting to say something.
Well, I want to say that in regard to the two-party system, I think really the solution, it may be good people in the two-party system, But the ones who rule is the shadow government. They the ones who basically have the last word on all the issues. So, you know, even though it might be good persons in the Democratic Party, okay, peace.
No, you can finish.
Well, you know, I think the system is really ruled by a shadow government, even though there may be good persons in the Democratic Party, and certainly there are no good people in the Republican Party. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for that, Benny. Working under terrific conditions, we must upgrade our studio. You have done a magnificent job of keeping this together in spite of technical difficulties.
I want to remind all of you that we will be downloading another broadcast next week. Because of the Labor Day holiday on Monday, we will not record next week. But we look forward to you week after next. Once again, we will not be having a live program next week. We know you're going to be involved in a lot of protests over the Labor Day weekend. And we anticipate that you'll need to recoup and rest on Tuesday. All right. We thank you so much for what you
thank
have
you.
Done.
Thank you, Sister Betty.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Betty.
Thank you, Sister Betty. Brother Ralph. Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Ralph.
To be free, I wish.